want to bring Christian greetings. Say it's good to be here in the house of the Lord again this morning. Another beautiful Lord's Day, and also a, like was Brother Brian mentioned, a day that it's not very easy to forget. I want to think a little bit this morning about the danger of forgetfulness. I was thinking of today being Mother's Day. You know, it's not, we might forget some other important days, but we're going to have a hard time forgetting Mother's Day, because if you look in the news at all, if you see any, go to any stores or anything, it seems like the merchants are very intent on keeping you alerted to what the day is and what the season is. And I think that's good, but we're always thankful for our mothers, our wives, and what they've done for us, but I think it's good to have a day set aside for that. We often joke at our forgetfulness. You know, somebody forgets something, we ask them how old they're getting or that kind of thing. But, you know, it's how often do we, at least myself, I go somewhere or do something, and or probably more for me, I know there's a couple things I want to tell somebody, and I say one or two, and the other one just disappears. It's totally gone. And a while later, it'll come back. It seems like the harder you try to think, the harder it is to get it back. Or, you know, other people sometimes, they come walk into a room and say, "What did I come here to get? I know it was something," but finally you walk away. Or you're driving down the road and you're busy thinking or talking or something, and all of a sudden you're trying to think why you're going down this road. This is not where I wanted to go. And it's a bad feeling, especially if you were supposed to be somewhere else by that time. But, you know, this is a harmless, most of the time, harmless type of forgetfulness. But, you know, there's also another type of forgetfulness of those, most of us know people or have loved ones who, as the years go on, they remember less and less. And even to the point of forgetting their own family. You know, when people's memory goes, they can become very easily disoriented and make some very bad decisions, place themselves in great danger, and have to be watched very closely. And for the most part, there's not much you can do about that kind of memory loss. That's the mental kind. But, you know, there is something that you can do about spiritual memory loss. Forgetting and being spiritually is extremely dangerous. It can have an effect on our eternal destiny. It seems like in the Old Testament, that was one of the fundamental reasons that God's people kept wandering from God and messing up their lives, suffering God's judgment. And can we make the same mistakes today? Are we capable of the same things? Falling into the same patterns? And I think we would all say yes. You know, we have the same human capabilities of making the same kind of mistakes. I'd like to look at Psalm 106, if you want to turn with me there. And maybe I'm going to start kind of on the negative part here. Start reading at verse 6. And we'll come back to the positive a little later. Psalms 106, verse 6. And notice the forgets and not remembered in this passage. It says, "We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. They soon forget his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their requests, but sent leanness unto their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan, and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb, and worshipped the molten image. Thus they change the glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forget God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach, to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them? Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. They joined themselves also unto Baal Peor, and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague brake in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas, and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed. And that was counted unto him for righteousness, unto all generations forevermore. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen, and learned their works. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. And he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought unto subjection under their hand. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel, and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and remembered them for his covenant, and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. And he made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captives. We'll stop there. Now, this is a summary of the unfortunate history of God's chosen people. A very sad commentary there. They soon forgot what he had done for them. It says in verse 7, they remembered not the multitude of thy mercies. In verse 13, it says, they soon forget his works. Verse 21, they forget God their Savior. Why? Why did all these things, why did they do this? What happened there? Why did they forget? We know the results of their disobedience resulted in judgment. You know, isn't that the human nature to quickly forget how great a God we serve and all the amazing things that he has done for us? And it's like a person who loses their cognitive memory. You know, we start to get disoriented. We wander off to where we should have never wandered. To leave God's ways and to forget what his will is for us. And we have to experience the pain of God's correction and judgment, or simply the painful consequences of our own wrong choices. You know, but unlike cognitive memory loss, there's a simple antidote for spiritual forgetting. I think that's praise, regular, specific, conscious praise to God for who he is and for what he has done for us. Now, deliberately focusing our thoughts on him and what we have to thank God for. You know, how easy is it to focus on the negative? To wake up in the morning feeling blue maybe because of all you have to face or because of everything you have to do today. You know, what a difference it would make if we'd wake up praising God for what he has done for you, for who he is to you. Shouldn't we begin our day like the first five verses begin here? I'd like to go back there and read those. Psalms 106, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. And then verse 47, save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thine praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. If we can keep that focus and see God throughout the day, what a difference that would make in the whole of our lives. It would give us a whole different outlook on life. When we stop praising God, we start forgetting God. And when we start to forget God, we start wandering. We start getting hurt, discouraged, depressed, impatient. We start taking things maybe into our own hands. You know, we need, something's got to be done. We've got to help God here. I had to think of Daniel. You know, what kept him faithful in that heathen land? You know, working where he worked, a prominent place. Was it because he constantly turned his face toward Jerusalem and praised God? He didn't forget who God was and what he had done for him, for his people. You know, even when he knew very well that he could be dinner for those hungry lions, he openly showed his face in the window. He did not let that hinder him. You know, was it really necessary for him to do that? Couldn't, if he prayed with his moved over and had his face against the wall, still pointed toward Jerusalem or in the closet, instead of an open window? But, you know, there was something about it that was very important. It was very important to him to do that. And I believe God honored that faith. You know, maybe it was because he was determined not to forget who God was and what he wanted for his people. Maybe he knew his own human weakness, and this is what he determined to do to keep his focus on his great God. And remember, an evangelist we had quite a few years ago said, you know, when he gets up in the morning, he looks out, there's a window to the east, and he looks out that window and he says, maybe God will, maybe Jesus will come back today. And keep that focus of looking forward to that day. And what do I do to keep my focus on Christ and what he has done for me? You know, am I vocal about it, even when it costs me something? Am I willing to stand out and to help me not forget who God is and what he has done for me? Closing here, I'd like to read a quote from Novatian. He says that in the contemplation of God's majesty, all eloquence is done, which is to say that God is always greater than anything that can be said about him. No language is worthy of him. He is more sublime than all sublimity, loftier than all loftiness, more profound than all profundity, more splendid than all splendor, more powerful than all power, more truthful than all truth, greater than all majesty, more merciful than all mercy, more just than all justice, more pitiful than all pity. Nothing anyone can say about him is enough. If God is not the biggest thing in the world to you, not all your talk will ever impress me. We ought to be where God is everything, where we walk into a meeting and see God and think God and feel God. We ought to see God all around us, where he comes down over us and we see him in a vision in the cool of the day. We ought to see him in a mountain, in thunder and fire. We ought to see him on the cross in blood and tears, and coming down through the sky riding a white horse and sitting on a throne judging the nations. But always we see God, and God is everything. Let's kneel for prayer.